we're thankful to have you back, brother. Colossians. Good to be here tonight. As I've said many times, this study in Colossians has been a real joy. Yeah. I love the fact when we go verse by verse and how we see how they're all interconnected and we see the Lord at work. And I really believe this is a way we can really glean from the Scriptures. Tonight's message is called Forgiven Forever. Forgiven. Forever. Forever. Let's look at our text. It's in verse 14. Scripture declares in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Last week we looked at verse 13, and they're tied in again. Once again, let's look at verse 13, and we see how God the Father has delivered us. We who believe, He's delivered us and rescued us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we know from following the letter that Paul is writing to Colossians. He's writing to believers in Christ. He's writing to those who believe, those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. And in verse 14 ties in, look at this, in whom we have redemption. Who's that? Well, that's the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, and like I said, there's a continuation from 13 to 14. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And note the first two words there in verse 14. In whom? So they're connected with that. In whom? And that's Christ. That's our great King. Brother Chet and I was talking to me on Sunday after Sunday school, and he brought out the fact that in Ephesians chapter 1 that we did an overview. Turn if you would there. We did an overview of Ephesians chapter 1. And he noticed right off the bat, and it was wonderful. He said, I noticed the in whom, and I always have to think, that's Christ. That's Christ. And it is. And this is the same in whom that we're looking at in Colossians 1:14. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Very similar verse to what we're looking at right now. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. This great forgiveness we have in Christ is according to the riches of the grace of God in Christ. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. And then look at verse 11. In whom, again, that being Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God works according to His own will. He does whatever He purposes. And then look at verse 13. In whom, being Christ again, ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. That's the gospel, right? The gospel of, look at, it's personalized, isn't it? It's personalized for every believer. The gospel of your salvation. Your salvation. For those who believe. It's the gospel, remember, my gospel. Not that it's, but it's personal, isn't it? It's personal. The gospel of your salvation. And that's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So again, Paul is just continuously setting forth Christ before the believers. In Ephesus and at Colossae. And we know from I remember when I had come and visit that one time and I preached on 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And do you guys remember that where I said that Paul's like setting a musical tuning fork? Ting! Being Christ. He does it in all his epistles. It's incredible. He gets them focused right away on Christ before any corrections to be done. So he gets their eyes on that who is most important. That who is most important. Let's go back to our text. So let's keep that in mind, that in whom being Christ. And let's look at our text. We'll read verse 13 and verse 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, So now the "in whom" is attached to his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom is the Lord Jesus Christ and no other. So it's identified right away who the "in whom" is. And as I said, now Paul will show the Colossians the richness of what they have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's showing us too, as we're looking at it now, we're going to see the richness of what we have in Christ in this verse and in the next few too. He's ramping up now to showing the preeminence of Christ against the false teachers. And it's amazing because he just continuously does this. And we're going to see this. And Christ is the exalted, preeminent one. He has all the preeminence. That's why preachers, we say, don't look to us. You look to Christ. He's the one who gets all the glory. We're just messengers. We're just mercy beggars telling other mercy beggars where to find bread. I'm saved the same way as everyone else is. And we're just... He's the one who gets all the glory. He's the one who should be exalted and magnified in all of our lives. Now, when Paul is making Christ the preeminent one, it's a striking blow against the false teachers once again, who were promoting that it's Christ and something else. And so it's another striking blow against Gnosticism, and it's another striking blow against false teachers who would add anything to Christ. And of course, the false teachers said that they were the holders of all this knowledge, right? What has Paul built up to? And what we've seen, he's already told us that all the knowledge comes from Christ. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who gives us strength. So he's focusing them again upon Christ. And he's saying, in Christ, you have everything. You have everything. There's no need to look anywhere else. You don't look to yourself, and you don't look to anyone else but Christ and him alone. So Paul will combat these errors by putting forth Christ, in whom we have all spiritual blessings. Now, when false teachers come in, they cause all kinds of doubt. They start to make the saints doubt. And they add just a little thing. They say, well, it's Christ plus baptism. Or it's Christ plus you doing all these works here. They just add little things. They're subtle. Because they're added small little things. And what have we always looked at? If you add a pinprick of works to grace, it's no longer grace. Right? And Paul cannot stand for what he's hearing, which is the fact that these false teachers are adding to the finished work of Christ. And here have nothing to do with it. Here have nothing to do with it. And believers will have nothing to do with it. Once we get our eyes focused back on Christ, we're like, no, 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 no. No. And he would have the Colossian brethren have nothing to do with it. And he would have us have nothing to do with it. Questions we can ponder are this, that they may have been thinking. And Paul might have been thinking, I don't know, but in light of what I was looking at, you know, we may think, ponder a question like this, have they forgotten what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them? Well, Paul's reminding them. We see it in the text. He's reminding them. And he's going to tell them what Christ has done for them. Another question is Christ not sufficient to both pardon and deliver them from their sins? He is. The answer is yes. And Paul's going to show them that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So he's combating these errors. He's combating any kinds of questions that would come up. Paul reminds them of the fullness that they have in Christ. They have a fullness. We believers in Christ have a fullness in Christ. And we need nothing but Christ. He's the only one we need. And he alone is the one to receive all the preeminence. So in verse 13, we've been translated into his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of Christ. What does a sinner have in Christ? Well, let's look at verse 14 and we have the answer. In whom? Being Christ. We have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh. What verbiage we have here before us. Paul talks to believers who are in Christ, saying, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Think of this. We who are trusting Christ alone plus nothing have this. We have this. I was looking at this text, right? And I thought, wow, you know, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Right away, we're drawn to redemption and through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. But do you see those two little words we have? I thought, wonder what the Greek says about the word have. I just wondered what it said. And it blew me away. It implies, or not implies, it's defined as this, to have and to hold, implying, and this is what blew me away, continued possession. To have. So believers have what is going to be spoken of in Christ. Right? Because it says, in whom we have. It's a possession that we have. In Christ, it's only in him, in whom. It's not by anything we do. It's all by what he does. And it was purchased at the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ in the shedding of his precious blood. And we have this, and it's a continued possession. Forever forgiven. It's amazing. And then it says, redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. The Greek word for redemption means a releasing effected by payment of ransom. The law and justice of God demanded a payment for our sins. And it has to be paid. And according to the Greek, redemption is a releasing effected by a payment of ransom. Redemption or deliverance. Liberation. Procured by a payment of a ransom. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ paid a ransom, didn't he, for his people? He did. And it was through his precious blood. Through his precious blood. And we have a redemption in Christ Jesus. And what a deliverance believers have in Christ. What a deliverance. What a liberation we have in Christ. And Scripture says, we have it. In whom we have. And it's only in him. It's only in him. Men are sold under sin and condemned by the law of God. And from this state of deliverance, how are we delivered from that state? How are we delivered from being sold under sin and condemned by the law? Only through the precious blood of Christ. And redemption implies a price paid. A price paid. And the ransom is the precious blood of Christ. He ransomed his people. He paid everything God demanded for all his people. And now we can see how precious those words are. It is finished. No work to be done by us, is there? He did it all. What rest and comfort we as believers can find in that. And Scripture declares this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace. Oh, he just bestows his grace upon whomever he wills. I say to you, beloved of God, who are saved, aren't you thankful? That he freely bestowed his grace upon us. And it's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures. If you want to have a pen, you might want to write some of them down because we're going to go through some different scriptures. And But we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. The believer in Christ has redemption and deliverance from the guilt of sin. 1 John 1:7, the guilt of sin, original or actual. Original sin being when we fell in Adam. Actual sin being what we think, what we do, and sins which we don't even know we do. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, that's wonderful news. This is what we have in Christ. We have in Christ redemption and deliverance from the power of sin. Romans 6:14 and Acts 3:26. The power of sin. We still have the presence of sin with us, don't we? We all know that. But the believer is released and set free from the power of sin. It had power over us. It was a taskmaster. Romans 6:14 says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Think, beloved, think, believer in Christ, of how we were before the Lord saved us and how sin had dominion in our lives. It doesn't anymore. We still fight with it, though, don't we? We struggle with it every day, but it doesn't have the power it once had over us. Oh, what a mighty Redeemer. What a mighty Savior. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Romans chapter 6, verse 14, and in Acts 3:26, "Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." We're turned away from our sins. We don't desire the things that we once desired. Now we desire Christ. We desire to hear the gospel. We desire to hear the wondrous things that Christ has done for us. And we know what we were, and we know what we still are, sinners. But we're saved, redeemed, purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Oh, it's marvelous. So we've been delivered from the power of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all our sins. Titus 2:14 says this, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us." And remember our text, right? "In whom we have redemption." We have it. Scripture declares who gave himself for us, Titus 2:14, "that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people, zealous of good works." Oh, we desire to serve him now. We desire to honor him, bring glory to him in our lives when we didn't care before. It's marvelous. And it's all the work of God. It's all his doing. We have in Christ redemption and deliverance from the tyranny of Satan. Look at verse 13, the one verse up from where we were, or from where we are tonight, what we looked at last week. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Oh, what darkness we were in, the darkness of sin, the darkness of where we were bound up and we didn't even have a clue. "And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." 1 John 3:8 says this, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Oh, he crushed him at Calvary's cross, didn't he? Luke 22:31-32, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee." Oh, precious words. The Savior says to Peter, "But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." See, there's the key, beloved. There's the key. If it wasn't for him keeping us, we'd be gone. Oh, but he keeps his people. Oh, he loves his people. He keeps them. "I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Luke 22:31-32. Oh, what a mighty God we have. We have in Christ redemption and deliverance from the curse of the law. The law has a legal claim upon us, doesn't it? The law and justice of God. But Scripture declares Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He's a man, God, He's God and man. To redeem them, there we go, to redeem them, to purchase them, that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, what a mighty deliverance. We have in Christ redemption and deliverance from the wrath and justice of God, right? Scripture declares, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Our sins were placed upon Christ and He bore them all. He bore the penalty that God demanded and the price, and it was extracted. He paid it all. And think of that. He did it for all of His elect of all the ages at that one time. It's amazing. Only God can do this. Only God can redeem us from our sins. And how great is this redemption? And it only comes through Christ. Here's a good illustration I found online. It said this, if a king should empty all his coffers, think of the richest, say we were back in medieval days, and the richest king on earth, the richest king, should empty all his coffers and alienate all his crown land to rescue his subjects, he'd show himself a natural prince. But what is this to that ransom which our king hath tendered? Doesn't even hold candles to it, does it? He hath redeemed His people, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, beloved of God, compare to what our great God and King, becoming a man and living a perfect life as our substitute, and dying a sacrificial death as our substitute on the cross. Nothing can compare. Nothing can compare. And think of this. Apart from Christ, this redemption does not exist. It doesn't exist. Apart from Christ, in whom we have redemption. Oh, we have it in Christ and Him alone. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Oh. How do we have redemption? How do we have deliverance from sin? Look at our verse continues. Through His blood. Through His blood. Through the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down just a little bit in our chapter to verse 19 to 21. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And heaven made peace. Now He's sinless, isn't He? Absolutely sinless. But we know He's dying on the cross to reconcile us to God. And heaven made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you. That's the Colossian believers, right? That's you and I who believe. We're sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now hath He reconciled. Do you notice the wording here too? He hath. There's no doubt of it. What a rest we have in Christ. What a rest. What a peace we have in Christ. As I said, outside of Him, it does not exist, does it? Outside of Christ, there's no reconciliation with God. None. Outside of Christ, there's no peace with God. This is why we say, sinner friend, flee to Christ. Flee to Him. He's your only hope. May God make you willing. May He make you willing to flee to Him. Oh, yet now hath He reconciled. And notice how Paul is pointing the Colossians. He's pointing the Colossians away from the false teachers and right to Christ. He says, in whom? You have it in Christ. You have everything in Christ. You have this redemption in Christ. And it's through His blood. It's through His blood. He's focusing them upon Christ and Him alone. He's showing the Colossian believers the preeminence of Christ first and foremost in order that they may be able to combat the false teachers who come with these false doctrines before them. And is it not so even for you and I right now? As we read and study, we learn. There's instruction for us in combating the errors of our day. When someone comes to you and say, well, salvation's in Christ, but you've got to do these things here. You'd say, no, no. In whom I have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's nothing to be added. So, and you can use it. Anybody comes with anything adding to Christ? No. No, it's only in Him. If I add works, I ruin it. It's no longer grace. But oh, what a wonderful salvation we have in Christ. And it gives us hope. Because we know we're sinners. But it gives us hope. Oh. Our Bible is an amazing book too. Think of this. This was written to the Colossian believers, right? Okay? It crosses times and cultures, and it presents a God and a Savior who's timeless. Timeless. And He never changes. So if we're forgiven now, we're forgiven forever. Now that doesn't give us a license, right, to go crazy. We know that. And one commentator said, we're not saved from sin to sin. We now the love of Christ constrains us, doesn't it? Now we're still sinners, unfortunately, and we will be. But there will be a day when we're sinless. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. And there's some we know and love who are already there. But there will. And I remember talking to Donnie one time, and he said somebody was going off about something, and he said, I don't want to sin. I sin more than I want to. I don't desire to sin. We don't desire to go out and go crazy. No. No. We want to honor Christ. We love Him. He's our King, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we looked at, let's do a little review. We looked at in whom, which being Christ. That's Christ. We have redemption. That's the price for our sins. The ransom price has been paid for. We've looked at how our ransom was purchased. It's through His blood. Now we come to the benefit of this great redemption for God's people. The forgiveness of sins. And again, I'm going to go through a bunch of verses if you want to write them down. The benefits of this great redemption for God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And He gave Himself for the sins of His people by the shedding of His own precious blood. We see that in our text on Calvary's tree. We who are sinners by birth, nature, and choice are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And we receive the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Let's look at some biblical texts which speak of what we have in this marvelous forgiveness which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here are some of the benefits of the forgiveness of sins. We have remission of sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Remission of sins. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have number 2, liberty or releasing from the power of sin. Isaiah 61:1 says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh, we were in darkness, remember? Captive. Sealed up to our sin. The cords of sin had wrapped around us. Liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, we're free, beloved. Free. Another thing about the forgiveness of sins is God being merciful to sinners. Luke chapter 18, verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we know that man went home justified. And in Hebrews 8:10 says this, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the forgiveness of sins, isn't it? Gone. And Christ is our propitiation. He's the propitiation for our sins, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Some of the benefits of the forgiveness of sins is this, the purging from our sins. Psalm 51:7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The one who trusts Christ is made whiter than snow. At Calvary's cross, he purchased us. Whiter than snow. Oh, it's marvelous. And in this, think of this. Now we remember our sins, don't we? God not remembering our sins. Jeremiah 31:34 says this, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now think of this. Think of this as we're reading these scriptures in the Old Testament, right? What does Colossians say that we're looking at then? In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How will God remember our sins no more? Because Christ's blood washed them all away. Oh, it's wonderful. Covering our sins. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Covered by the blood of Christ. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whom spirit there is no guile. And then Psalm 85:2 says this, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. All their sin. There's nothing left. Oh, this is good news for sinners. Good news for sinners. Psalm 51:9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Blot them out. And he's done that. Taking away and removing sin. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 12 says this, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Oh, praise God he hasn't. Praise God he hasn't. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise God. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And east will never meet west if you're traveling. If you keep going east, you always go east. Oh, what wonder is the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ our Lord. And think of this, beloved. A casting of our sins behind God's back. Isaiah 38:17 says this. Actually, turn there if you would. Isaiah 38:17. Turn there if you would. This is one I want to talk about a little bit. Isaiah 38, 17. Then you can put your finger over in Isaiah 43 and 44. But look at this. 38:17. A casting of our sins behind God's back. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now think of this, beloved. They are no longer in front of him. When God sees the believer, he sees us in Christ. They're no longer in his sight, and he sees us in Christ. What a mighty Savior. What a mighty... And this is only in Christ. It's nowhere else. Nowhere else. Only in Christ. Isaiah 43:25 says this, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. When? In whom we have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. What a wonderful Savior. What a glorious God. He becomes a man and dies in our room and place. And in Isaiah 44:22 says this, I have blotted out. Oh, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh. And he cast it in the depth of the sea. Turn, if you would, to Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Oh, my. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Oh, what a mighty Savior. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. God delights in mercy, beloved. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Into the depths of the sea, never to be seen anymore. Brother John, you were on a ship on that sea. What these oceans are like. Never to be seen anymore. The avenging eye of God's justice does not behold them, since his justice has been satisfied in Christ. All the sins of God's people have been removed from them and imputed to Christ, and they're carried away into the land of oblivion, so that they are no more to be seen on them. No more to be seen on the believer, who are through his blood and righteousness without fault, without fault, without spot and without wrinkle. I say, is this not a marvelous God, beloved? What a wonderful God we have, the only one true God. Our sins are cast into the sea. Especially, one commentator said, especially into the depths of it, irrecoverable. Not to be found up again. They don't float back up. No, they're cast into the depths of the sea. And God's people are forgiven for Christ's sake. We're forgiven for Christ's sake. All our sins. Christ bore them all. Our sins are covered. We who believe, our sins are covered, blotted out, pardoned. And not one remains unforgiven. Not one. Not one, beloved. And our text says we have this in Christ Jesus our Lord. And is this not amazing grace? Is this not wondrous grace? God's people for whom Christ died are forgiven forever. And it's all in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all in Him. Nowhere else. Manifestation of the grace of God in Christ towards His people. And remember this. He alone justifies. Only Him. Only Him. We can't justify ourselves before God. Only in Christ do we have justification. He alone justifies. He alone redeems us. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood, even the forgiveness. Only in Christ. Only in Him. And therefore He gets all the glory and honor and praise. And do we not see the boundlessness of the grace of God in Christ to His people? In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In this, as I said, this wonderful redemption is only in Christ. He's the author. In whom? In whom? He's the means through His blood, through His precious blood. And the effects flow through what He has done, right? The forgiveness of sins. It's all in Him. Though your sins are as red as crimson, as countless as sands on the shore, in the blood of the blessed Redeemer, they are cleansed and remembered no more. Your sins are remembered no more. Your sins are remembered no more. To the depth of the sea He has cast them to be. Remembered against you no more. Forever forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say praise to His mighty name. Praise to His mighty name. Do you have a song, brother?
Since I've been redeemed. Amen. I like these four lines because it goes along with what we're talking about this evening. Your sins are forgiven. You have a new song. First line says you have a new song. The second line says you have Christ. The third line says you have a witness. Well, that's Christ. And the fourth line says you have a home prepared. All right. Let's stand.
come.